You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
How far are you willing to go? That question, asked or unasked, is often in the mind of a young man and young woman when they're dating. Sometimes it is an invitation to the pleasures of marriage without matrimony. More often than not, however, it becomes an appropriate and even necessary question of two young people courting one another with matrimony in mind. How far are you willing to go? Are you thinking of our relationship simply in terms of sexual encounter? How far are you willing to go in commitment to a lifetime of going and growing together? It might surprise you to hear that the great God asks that same question of people all the time. How far are you willing to go? God asks that question of the teller of his story, and also of the listener, wherever it may be that you hear the story of God today. God says, "Be faithful right into death, and I will give you a crown of life." The whole revelation of John keeps on asking that basic question: how far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go for God? Are you willing to go part of the way with him? Are you willing to go halfway with him, for example? Or are you willing to go all the way with him? Here in his book of Revelation, St. John is talking to a particular congregation of people who are willing to go part of the way with God, maybe halfway. John wrote that God wasn't particularly happy with that church because it did not go far enough, certainly not far enough for him. God must be unhappy with a lot of churches these days. They probably belong to every denomination you can think about. Some of these churches preach a message which says, if you want to be happy, prosperous, and healthy, go with God. They even advertise that message in the newspapers and over the airwaves. They assure people that God will give them the material things they want if they just pray for them. A rather well-known religious figure recently called that religious baloney. That's exactly what it is. It was a prosperous congregation that St. John addressed with these words, "Be faithful right into death, and I will give you a crown of life." Located at a center of emperor worship, these people had to deal with a kind of state religion which has so dominated life in so many places, even in our own time. Each year, the citizens of that place were required to burn a pinch of incense on the altar as a tribute to the emperor. Games were held to celebrate his honor. People worshipped him, sometimes with a smirk. Still, they paid sacrifice to him as to a god. In a world confused by its own idols, the message of God comes through straightforward and clear: be faithful right into death itself, and I will give you a crown of life. Is he just another god people argue about politically and sometimes even theologically? Is he a god that satisfies the needs of people but does not command faithfulness even in the midst of wide-ranging death with his promise of life? Other things maybe, but not life. Where do you find a god who promises life and by the faithfulness of his promise commands the faithfulness of people right into death? One who gives life out of the goodness of his heart because he loves people and is sorry to see that anyone should perish by his own destructive willfulness or by a misguided search in a bubble somewhere off the straight and narrow road that leads directly to him. Where do you go to find God except in the word God has given to the world? Pick up a Bible and you find God. There he is in all his grace and glory, known in the face of the one he has sent, even Jesus Christ. All the roads in the Bible, including the highways and the byways, lead to God and to Jesus Christ, the one God sent for the salvation of the world. No wonder Jesus Christ called himself, and was called by John in this book of Revelation, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus claimed to be God. Even his enemies recognized his claim. When they said in the last week of his life, "How is it that you, a man, make yourself out to be God?" The followers of Christ have always recognized this claim and have attached themselves to him in faith, which is trust and confidence that he is what he claimed to be, the Son of the living God, giving himself for the life of the world. Jesus said of himself, "I died and I came to life again. I am Lord, not set above the troubles and the hardships in the world, coming to glory on the road to obedience to my Father, by whom I was sent to die for the sins of the world." Faith in him talks this way: "He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification." In him, people who cannot save themselves stand boldly in the presence of God with everything made good by the blood of Jesus Christ. God doesn't ask you to believe merely that all of this is true. He commands you to have faith in him. Jesus was asked, "What must we do to do the works of God?" He answered, "Believe in him whom God has sent." Faith in Jesus Christ is faith in God. Faith in God trust not only that Jesus died, but that he died for you. Faith is personal. It is commitment to God. You're saved, not by your commitment, but by the grace of God in whom you put your trust. The great God who showed how far he is willing to go in the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. He forgives your sins for the sake of Jesus, and he gives you life as he gave his Son glory by raising him from the dead. The message to the church at Smyrna, called Izmir today, comes straight from Christ. He recognizes the sufferings of people, even when they are committed to God. "I know your tribulation and your poverty," he says. People become rich toward God with faith in Jesus Christ, and they look at life with a new confidence, not expecting a bed of roses, financial success, political power, or prestige in the community. In fact, they're not exactly surprised by the very opposite. They may be poor in comparison with their neighbors, but they still enjoy the riches of God's grace, which enriches people with a quality of life that enables them to live and raise their children to be responsible citizens, not only in the kingdom of this world, but also in the commonwealth of heaven. Jesus spoke of his followers being slandered and having to endure blasphemy from those who claimed to be religious themselves. Some lost their jobs as the result of falsehood spread about them. Christian businessmen were boycotted because of their loyalty to Jesus. "Don't be alarmed at the suffering you are going to endure," said Jesus. "This kind of suffering, though sharp and severe, will be very short. Some of you," said Jesus, "will be imprisoned and put to death." Jesus held out no false hope of an easy and comfortable life. Jesus has always been totally honest with his people. To be real honest about it, Jesus has been honest with us. Christians have to say honestly to you, "Come and suffer with us for the glory of Christ." He gives joy to all those who suffer with him, and you will be glorified together with him. St. Paul once wrote to Timothy, his younger son and brother, "Take your share of suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Dietrich Bonhoeffer, modern martyr for Christ, once wrote, "Suffering is the badge of the true disciple." "Be faithful right into death," Jesus challenged his people, "and I will give you a crown of life." Faithfulness is the key. It's not something you do. It comes from him. And it's always faith in him. That's where the power lies, in God. It's a good thing it does. If it were up to us, no matter how strong or religious we might be, the game would be over. Faith taps the power of God. By that power, Jesus died, full of confidence in his Father. By that power, he was raised from the dead through the glory of his Father. By that power, people live today, surrounded by the power of Satan and by people who are willing to play his game. It's that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The power of God. Be full of faith right into death, and God will give you the crown he has prepared for those who love him. Polycarp, a renowned church father, is believed by some to have been the bishop of this church at Smyrna. At the age of 86, he was ordered to renounce Christ and offer incense to Caesar. The officer in charge asked him, "What harm can it do to sacrifice to the emperor?" Polycarp refused. Later, Polycarp was brought before the proconsul of that province. He said, "Have respect to your age. Swear by the genius of Caesar. Swear and I'll release you. Revile Christ." Polycarp replied, 86 years have I served him, and he's done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my king who saved me?" Polycarp was then put to death, and the promise became gloriously true for him, as it has been for many others down through the centuries. Be faithful right into death, and I will give you the crown of life. In an age when frontal attacks on the followers of Christ become somewhat less physical and more refined in their cruelty, the challenge to faithfulness is just as ferocious as ever. How far are you willing to go? When your family members tell you that you're a fool for being faithful to Christ, how far are you willing to go? I've known young people who faced that challenge head on from their parents and eventually won their parents by their solid commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be faithful, and I will give you a crown. People don't want to be considered narrow or old-fashioned. As a result, they're silent and don't raise their voices against wrongdoing. They don't want to step on anybody's toes or lose money or friends. So they remain, they think, inoffensive. As any athletic coach can tell you, a good offense is the best defense. It has to be done cleanly, with respect for the rules and also for the rights of others. Otherwise, you'll foul out and the game will be lost anyway. Christians contend by the rules God has given them, but they have another great power working for them, the love of Christ that passes knowledge. They're not mean. They do not slander their neighbors, but work toward good family life with understanding for their children. They have respect for God and for one another. Finally, when all is said and done, they stand firm in the faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered once the just for the unjust to bring us to God. St. Paul said to the Philippians, "Jesus walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross." That showed how far he was willing to go. How far are you willing to go for him? The writer of this book of Revelation did not die as a martyr. He suffered with Christ for a long time, waiting for the light of glory to shine upon him. At the same time, he had no use for the kind of softness and hypocrisy that babbles, "I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll say what you want me to say. But I'm busy just now with myself, dear Lord. I'll serve you some other day." Even the world has no use for a weak and soft church that asks only a low level of commitment from its members. Finally, that's all it gets. Take Christ by faith, my friend, and go with Christ in faith. Be faithful. What you get is God, and you begin to grow with God. You might get the cold shoulder once in a while from some of your friends, but don't worry about it. Most of the time, you'll be surprised at how grateful people are to you when you stand up for your faith and speak up with the love you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be surprised at how respectful people are to such faithfulness in a world where infidelity has become the order of the day. How far are you willing to go? It's not a glide down a steep slope, but rather an arduous climb up a steep hill. All the same, faithfulness remains the order of the day. Faithfulness to a faithful God draws you on to a life full of commitment with his promise of glorious fulfillment. Be faithful, right into death, and I will give you a crown of life. Amen.